So it's always interesting if you need to meet a new person, because then it normally goes like, what's your name? Who are you? Where are you from if you're a student, and they're from all over? And then normally it's, what do you do? And that the answer to what do? Determines how you deal with that person. Because if it's a high-level person, suddenly you deal with him in a certain level. If it's a person that sort of says he's jobless, he's looking for a job, then you deal with him at another level. But it's not just true for other people. What about you? If I say, what do? Then it's also on the level of, I do this right and I do this wrong. And I'm trying harder and I'm not doing this. So what do is an important question. So let's start with Scripture and see about, let me just take a step back. Last week, Ruan preached and he talked about the things that's preventing you from living fully to the Lord, giving yourself fully to the Lord. And it's normally those things that we say, I don't do this, I don't do this enough, but I need to do this more. So where does it fit in? And how do we change that? And that's what we're going to try to look at this morning. So let's look at John 1, verses 12 to 13. John 1, let me just get it here that it's easier for me to see from there. John 1, verses 12 to 13. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting in human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Now, first of all, if you believe in and you accepted the Lord, then you are his children. That's what the word says. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, the new has begun. And the ESV, that's a New Living Translation. The ESV says, if you belong to Christ, you are a new creation. Now the question is, why don't we live as new creations? Because we try hard, and if we fail, we think we need to try harder and harder and harder. Now, I want to tell you two stories, about me trying harder. You see, a couple of months ago, as we opened our dishwasher, we are privileged to have a dishwasher, very old one that we still got from my mother, second and third hand. And as we opened this dishwasher, there was this stench, this awful smell coming from there. And I realized, okay, there's something wrong in the piping or whatever. And instead of going to the manual telling me how this works or what needs to be done, or it's got a cleaning system that I found out afterwards. And so I realized that, yeah, I don't want it to. See, they are glad. So I didn't go to the manual, and I think I can do this. So I found out if you want to clean a drain, you just get drain cleaner. So we bought drain cleaner, and it's easy. You just put it in the dishwasher. So we put it in, and when I poured some water in, like they said you should do, and as I wanted to start the dishwasher, it wouldn't start. You see, I tried hard to fix it, but I had the wrong tools. The dishwasher was made for zincs, and it destroyed the whole piping system of the engine and the whatever in the dishwasher. So we didn't have a problem of a bad smell anymore. We had a bigger problem. Our dishwasher was gone. So I could say, no, I need to try harder. I need to pour more of this in. But if I do the wrong things, I end up with a worse problem. And I think spiritually, we do the same. We don't go to the manual, God's word. I can do this. I need to try harder. And we try. And if you use the wrong method, the wrong tool, or you end up with bigger problems. And you try to cover up with that. Now, the second story I want to tell you is about my grandson. Those of you know, we've got a new grandson of about 4 months old. He's awesome. He's just amazing. But he uses diapers. So the diaper is a wonderful thing. So you put on a new diaper and he's all cleaned and smiley and thing, and then the diaper gets dirty. And if you don't change him, he's very unhappy and he starts complaining. And then you change the diaper and it's clean again, but it becomes dirty again. And that will probably continue for how many years? But you see, spiritually, it's just the same with us. Christ has cleansed us, we are clean, and that's what we read. We're new creation. But what do? It's like a clean, dirty diaper. We get clean, now I'm clean, I'm doing good things, and then I fall and I do things that I shouldn't do or think I should be, work harder. So I go, Lord, help me, clean me, and then I'm cleansed, and then I'm feeling happy. So it's between this clean diaper, dirty diaper all the time. Sometimes I feel clean, sometimes I feel dirty. Sometimes I feel good, sometimes I don't feel so good. Sometimes I feel faithful and I glorify God, sometimes I don't. I want to hide. But then comes a wonderful time in any infant's life. It's called potty training. And the potty training comes, and when potty training happens, the diapers are not necessary anymore. There's no clean, dirty. It's whatever takes place there, then it's without the diapers. And for us, it's actually Christ cleaning us so that we are clean. But we think we go back to the dirty all the time. And then we try harder to get to change that. Now, I brought this along just to show you. Now, what we normally try to do, first of all, we want to change our environment. So we go and we say, if only I had another boss. If only I went to another school, then I will be okay. If only I get a new job, then I'll be okay. If only, and it's all exterior, the things around me causing me to be unhappy. So we try to change this to the dirty diaper by cleaning it up, and we think external stuff will do that. But then it hardly ever does. You see, maybe like you're always involved. So let's say I drive down the road, and every time I drive, I see the other cars are driving too slow. And then wherever I go, I complain, these guys are driving too slow. And maybe, just maybe, it's because I'm driving too fast that I experience everyone else driving too slow. You see, if we try to change the environment here and there, there will be a difference. If I only have another cell group, then I will grow spiritually. If there's just another preacher, or I go to another church where I can be fed, whatever that means, then I will grow spiritually. But that's the environment. That's not a real change. You see, the next level is the level that we normally try to change, and that is our behavior. Now, that is interesting, because I see people go to the Lord, or let's just say, what is behavior? It's what you do. That's the stuff that you do. So, we normally say, I have to do better. And with everything, I have to do better. And if you're in your job, the more you learn, the better you get. If you're an athlete, the more you train, etc., you better you get. And we think it works like that with everything. We just need to work harder. And I hear adults say to the kids, work harder, then you'll get the results. So, and the problem is, we think, or there's people, people think they need to go to Jesus to help them to behave better. They think, if I can just go to Jesus, he will help me behave better. But Jesus didn't die for you to behave better. That's part of the truth. That's not the whole truth. Jesus died so that you can have life and life to the full. Not just behave better and then fall and try harder. That's not what it's about. You see, there's under behavior, we normally think of sin if you're in a church or a church person. You think of sin. Now sin, normally we associate with behavior, with thoughts, and with feelings. And we think if we can just change our thoughts and our feelings and our behavior, then I will be okay. Then I'll have a clean diaper. Then it's not a dirty diaper anymore. But you see, if you just work on this level, that means that you are almost trying just by yourself. My behavior, I'm trying harder. It's like arm wrestling yourself. It's like, if I arm wrestle myself, who's going to win? I'm going to win. Who's going to lose? I'm going to lose. And that's a problem if you have thoughts, because if you try to think everything clearly, your thoughts run around. Now I'm good, now I'm bad. This is not good, this is not, this is bad. So and then I get the feelings and I try to let my feelings run everything. So Rick Warren said, feelings are not facts. Don't believe everything you tell yourself. Because we go to what we perceive and our behavior. Christ did not die so that we can have better behavior. Christ died so that we can have life, and life to the full, which includes the behavior, but it's not just about the behavior. The behavior is the result, it's the fruit of what the next levels will be about. So give you an example. The problem with behavior, and if we focus on behavior, it's always stuff of the past. Like, let me give you an example. Let's say I steal cars. I'm sorry, you didn't know that about me. So I steal cars. So every time I steal a car, I go to the Lord and say, sorry, Lord, I did it all again. So it's always in the past. And I confess this and I say sorry and I say sorry. And by the way, nowhere in the New Testament did the Lord say sorry about your sins. He said, confess your sins. Confess your sins. That's speaking the truth. So I can say, okay, I'm sorry, I steal cars. But I don't need the Lord's power and the Holy Spirit's guidance for my past. I need the Holy Spirit's power and for now and for the future. So that when I walk past a car and there's a nice car, and the keys in the ignition, I think, wow, that's a cool car. That's when I need the Holy Spirit to guide me and say, no, 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 that's not on. And when I need the power of the Holy Spirit now and for the future, not just for my past. And the behavior and thoughts and feelings is everything is based on the past. So I need to somehow there's more to this change. And the next level of change is under our capabilities. You see, what are you capable to do? And that's what we think we can do or can't do. Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or can't, you're right. So if you think you can, we think there's certain things that we can do and there's certain things that I can't do. I just can't do this. I try and I try and I try. And again, it's to the, we try and we try harder and I can't do it. And that's the capabilities. So, have you ever, don't put up your hand, but have you ever done anything stupid? So what do you do when you've done anything stupid? Then you say, that was stupid, stupid, and you start calling yourself stupid. And guess what? When you call yourself stupid and you think that was stupid, what's the chances that you are going to do something brilliant? We either speak life or speak death. So our capability is what you believe, and we try to change it. Oh, I try, and I try harder, and I try harder, but then I don't manage, and then I go back, and I fail again, and I feel guilty, and I'm sorry, Lord. So somewhere, there's a next level. And the next level is on beliefs. Now, beliefs are very interesting because I see places where they say, we've got a statement of beliefs. But that's actually just a statement of thoughts. Because thoughts, and let me just make the distinction, thoughts are up here in your head. That's your thinking. And where's beliefs? Beliefs is in your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What does the Lord say in Proverbs? Says, guard your heart above everything. So the beliefs in your heart, and many times you don't know it's a belief until you believe it, until you realize it. But you see, we have the things up in our mind about things, and the problem with the difference between thoughts and beliefs is belief, that's what I believe, and nothing can take that away, or very, very few things can change that. But the thoughts, we change our minds all the time. Some people think it's their prerogative to change their minds. So we change. If it's just a thought, it's so easy to change. And then if I believe about something, then I trust the Lord for that. But you see, we can have the thoughts, and my question is now is this. If we just read, I'm a new creation. Sometimes I don't feel like a new creation. But if it's just a thought that the word says, it's just information, it's in my head. But when it comes to belief that the Lord told me, you're a new creation, then I live as a new creation. And if I fall and if I don't do something, then I go, Lord, help me. I need this now. I need to reflect you as a new creation. I'm your child. Sometimes I don't feel like God's child. Sometimes if they say God loves you, if you really believe here in your heart that God loves you, then if something happens, then I know God still loves me. That nothing I can do can make God love me less. But if it's just a thought that someone said, remember, God loves you, then it's a thought, he loves me, but maybe he doesn't like me because look at my life. God heals people, but I've been praying for healing for this, and I don't receive it. God says he will provide, he will look after me, and if you believe it, then you trust God, disregarding whatever happens in your life. Whether you lose your job, God provides for me. That's a belief, but then when it's just a thought, okay, God provides, but I don't know how I'm going to get through this month. And then we act on the thoughts, and that's when we go, I need to try harder. I need to read more. I need to do this more. And it's all focused up here. You see, we say we're a Christian nation. According to the stats, we're like 90% Christian, but we don't see it. So the question they ask, do you believe in God? And that's not the right question. The question should be, what do you believe about God? Because what you believe about God will determine whether it's just a thought or whether it's a heart, something in your heart that will change. Because the moment you start moving from there, then your capabilities will change, what you think you can do. Your behavior will start changing. Even your environment will change. And Paul sat in the prison cell and he rejoiced. So it's not the environment that's supposed to affect your well-being as a Christian. So we start with the beliefs. Now the question is, what do you believe about God and what do you believe about yourself? Do you believe that God is the true God? If it's just thoughts, then it's information. If it comes from God, then it's revelation. And that's the difference. Information just wanders in your head. And the revelation is from your heart. And here, especially in Stellenbosch, we think we're a very intellectual and materialistic group people. We're materialistic and we're intelligent. And by that, I don't mean we're rich and clever. By that, I mean we always try to measure stuff by what we can see and what we can have and the stuff around us. And we try to reason everything out. We think it's intellectual. So if it doesn't make sense, it can't be a belief. And that's just the thought processes. So somehow we need to change. And the beliefs, the question is, what do you believe about God? Or is it just a thought, God must be good, but I don't experience it? What do you believe about yourself? And you see, if we have to reason everything out, the voices we hear are, you're not good enough. You'll never be able to do this. You're never going to manage that. And that's where, because we do, it's all up here. But that's why we need to go to the next level. And the next level is identity. You see, all these, we have an influence and we try harder. But the moment we get to identity, that's from God. That's who God says you are. And that's why the Bible says you're a new creation. I'm new. I've got the Holy Spirit. There's so many things that the Bible tells us about that, about your identity, about who you are, not just what you do, not just your beliefs or about God, about self, your capabilities, etc. But the moment you believe what God says to you, that filters in here. And then you change your belief about God, about self. You change about what you think you can do or can't. Then you start changing your behavior. And the behavior is the result. That's the fruit of all this at the top. You see, people come to Jesus just to change this part. Maybe there. Maybe there. But Jesus came so that you can have life in all the... So, salvation is not a theory. Salvation is real. So, if we go to Romans 10, verses 9 to 10, we say... Where is it? Sorry. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Jesus raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So again, look, you believe from your heart, not just a thought, and you confess that you will be saved. That's a promise. So now, before we even carry on, I want to ask you, did you do that? Did you confess that Jesus is Lord? Do you believe in your heart that He is Lord? And I want you to, all of you, just to close your eyes quickly and just ask the Lord, Lord, did I do that? And for, I suppose, most of you, it's, yes, you did, my child. Yes, you did. And for maybe there's someone that feels, I haven't done that. And I'm going to pray because the actual words doesn't matter as much as what's going on in your heart. So just keep your eyes closed and then to say, if there's anyone here that has not done that, or you're not sure, then just pray with me. Lord Jesus, we hear that you died for us on a cross. Lord, and I'm dead inside. I'm looking at behavior and I'm looking at everything, but I'm dead inside. And I want to bring not just my behavior to you, Lord. I want to bring my whole self to you this morning. I want to give myself to you and ask you to cleanse me, but also to fill me with new life. Make me a new creation, Lord. As I surrender to you, as I give my life to you. Help me to live my life with you and for you in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, the thing is, when someone accepts Christ, we normally, Christians normally place new expectations on them. Now you have to read the Bible. You have to pray. You have to go to church. And immediately when they don't measure up, then it's like, oh, a dirty diaper. I need to try harder. I need to try harder. Now listen carefully and hear me out. Just don't judge yet. You don't have to do that. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to pray. You don't have to go to church. But, and I'll get to the but now, because you're a new creation. So how do you deal with it? You see, if I can try to explain it to you, I lost my leg in a motorbike accident. So I'm an amputee. So the thing is, if you lost any limb, and you can ask anyone that's lost a limb, somehow in your nervous system, it registers that the leg is still there. So after my accident, my leg was completely off during the accident. They attached it again, and I could move my feet, my toes like that, but not up. And now if I think, I can still move my toes. As I'm moving here, I'm moving my toes downwards, but I can't move it up. There's a resistance, but there's no foot. And people without limbs struggle with what they call a phantom pain syndrome, meaning that the nervous system tells you that that you get pain, and you get phantom pain, spook pain. So sometimes, especially in the beginning, your foot pains like crazy. So how do you deal with it? Because there's no foot. So in the past, they just give you painkillers, grandpas, whatever, and it takes away the pain because it adjusts the nervous system. And when it itches, they give you something for the itch. And if it's cold, that's tough. But the thing is, when you do things like that, you're just trying harder. And what do you tell your nervous system? And what's the experience of your nervous system if you just take painkillers? It tells you, just take painkillers, that'll make the foot better. But the foot's not there anymore. So what they're doing nowadays, and what they found is, you must teach your nervous system that the foot is not there anymore. So how do you do that? You go to the stump, I take off the prosthesis, and you find out where, if I fool around, then I can feel, oh, here's a nerve that makes me feel the foot. And then you stimulate that nerve to teach your body that your body ends here. And you get, and so you stimulate it, and the more you stimulate it in different ways, the more you teach your body that if the phantom pains come, it's not real. So, because it ends here, there's no pain down there. And I don't need to try harder and get more pills and get everything. And that's all the behavior and the stuff here. And what happens? You stimulate it. So now let's get back here. So you don't have to read the Bible and pray. But if you do read the Bible, the Holy Spirit, because you're a new creation, because you belong to Christ, the Holy Spirit will start stimulating your heart with what's in the Bible. And hey, that's for me. That is a belief. And the moment that you start stimulating your heart, it's just the thoughts that you have about God goes to your heart because it stimulates. And when you start praying, the Holy Spirit guides you. And it's not just not giving my list to the Lord. That's part of it. But to receive, to say, Lord, I want to listen and hear what you say. And the moment you do and you hear the Lord, then it starts stimulating your heart. So if I say the Lord will provide for you, then it's just me telling you. But if you hear from the Lord, I will provide for you, then it's a hard thing. And then I can attempt anything. And when you go to church, then it starts stimulating the community of believers, the fellowship of believers. And it stimulates your heart. So you don't have to, but if you do and you want to change, yeah, that's part of who you are, your identity in Christ, your identity as a new creation, that you can live for Christ. And then the moment you start, the Lord starts stimulating your heart with the word, through the church, then you start your beliefs about yourself and and God change. And then your capabilities start. I can do all things through Christ. And then that makes start making sense, because it doesn't make sense. How can I do all things through Christ? But if it's a hard thing, then you attempt it as if the Lord is with you. And then your behavior starts changing. And then when I'm about to fall, and you see, in an intellectual world, you will have a tat. You live, if you're 30 years old, you lived with 30 years of experience of the old self. And it's like hearing a song. If you hear, suddenly you hear a song that you haven't heard for 10 years, and it's there in your head somewhere, and you start singing and you know the words. And sometimes you wake up with a song that's in your heart, that you just start waking up. Now, you will wake up with what filled your life here in this area. I never wake up with hardcore rock because I never listen to it. And it's not a judge on music. It's just I don't listen to it. So I'm not going to wake up with that. But I wake up to the stuff I listen to, the stuff that stimulates my heart. And if the Word of God stimulates your heart and prayer does and cell group does, then guess what? That's the stuff that you will wake up with. And that will change you. All of this, and you don't have to try so hard and harder and harder and harder to change this, and instead start focusing on what the Lord does. You see, we need to start by telling the truth. Now, we don't have enough time. I need to finish. But we need to start with confessing, telling the truth. So, you don't hide something from God. If you've done something wrong, instead of just going, I'm sorry, Lord, nowhere does it say it. It says confess. And what is confess? Confess is telling the truth. The Greek word is homologia. It's homo, is the same, and logios is the word, spoken word by God, logos. So you need to speak the same as God says. So if God says this is wrong, I need to confess it. Lord, this is not right. I've been doing this. This is not right. That's a confession. But it's also, Lord, you say I'm a new creation. I'm speaking the truth. So the moment you start speaking, that is what confession is. So, and when the moment you do confession, that allows for repentance. And repentance, we think in repentance is, I'm sorry, Lord. That's not what it is. The Greek word for repentance throughout the Bible is metanoia. And metanoia means to change your mind. And if we want the Lord to change our mind, so if we confess, Lord, I'm doing this, I know this is not in line with what you word, because I read in your word, it stimulated my heart that this part of my life is not right. So, Lord, instead of just trying to harder to change my behavior, I confess that this is not right in my life. So, Lord, what do you say about this to change my mind? Romans 12 says, don't conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if you want transformation, you need to renew your mind. And not our own thoughts, because our own thoughts, we change that all the time. It's to renew our minds by the changing of our hearts. So if the moment you say, confess, then you repent. And so that change of mind. Lord, what do you say about that? And again, if you stimulate your heart with a word, with prayer, what do you say? And wait for the Lord. Or in your cell group, in church. Guys, what do you say about that? And the Lord used people like they used for the words that came through this morning. And the moment there's repentance, then that allows for form change. You see, many times we have people praying the sinner's prayer. And then we think, oh, we got one. We made a Christian. And by the way, if someone asks you if you're a Christian, don't just say yes, because you say yes to their interpretation of Christian. If you can say, what do you mean by that? If you mean I'm a follower of Christ, that Christ saved me, yes, that's what I am. But not just one of the 90% Christians that just in that. So the moment, because we get these people saying, yes, Lord, I pray the prayer, but there's no transformation. Because we just want to convert them, and there's no teaching and discipling, and there's no road with them. So the moment there's transformation, that's when the change takes place. That's when, Lord, I don't know, I haven't done this. Yes, what do you say about this? And through the Word and through the Spirit, it says, but this is what you need to do, my child. And then that leads to transformation. And the moment there's transformation, that leads here to confession. Yes, Lord, I am your child. Yes, Lord, I can do all things through Christ. And then it's hearing from God and listening, not just people talking and say, oh, this is what I must believe. This is what I must believe. So, many times we just listen and we sit here, listen to the person with a mic, and we grant authority to him above everything else. And we need to go and check, is everything in line with what the Lord says through the Spirit and in His Word? And it's not just about reading and saying, it's about listening and hearing. And what I want you to do now is, you say you're a new creation. If you say you belong to Christ, we're going to take, just to put 4 or 5 scriptures up there. And all I want you to do is, I'll read it, but I want you to listen and hear. What does God say to you? Not to the congregation, not to other Christians, not to Christians in general. What does God say to you through this verse? And that is that you can confess it. Yes, Lord. And then what is the mind change? I believe it because you said so. And then that's a stimulation of the heart. And that leads, that help me to transform, Lord. Because the transformation changes all this. And you still struggle with it, maybe. Things, it'll come to you. It'll come. And we will try to reason it out. But to trust the Lord of who you are is the most important part. So, let's pray. Father, as we read these verses, speak to each one of us, Lord, the way that you want to. Holy Spirit, come and do something. Fill this room. And anything that's not from you, leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. And that any voices, anything, and help us to hear your voice, Lord, whatever it means to each person. And as we read these scriptures, speak to each one of us to hear what you say about us. Help us to listen and to hear in Jesus' name. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. So if you want more faith, we need to listen and hear about the good news about Christ. And now the next couple of verses is about you. Help us to listen and hear, Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person or a new creation. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. Lord, what does it say about our old lives? What does it say about the new life that you give? Philippians 4, verse 13. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things, good things he planned for us long ago. the last verse, Ephesians 1, verses 13 to 14. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long time ago. The Spirit of God is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised, and that He has purchased us to be His own people. He did this so that we could praise and glorify Him.